Hey, builders, have you ever wished you could predict the future within your business? Well, I can't teach you to become a fortune teller, but learning how to make an annual strategic plan is the next best thing. In this free strategic planning web class, you're going to learn how to predict cash flow issues before they actually happen, and how to tell who you actually need to hire before you need them, and how to put all of this down on a proven template used by over 1,900 contractors every single year. If 2025 felt kind of out of control for you, well, this is your chance to make 2026 a much smoother ride. So register in the link in the description before space runs out, and I'll see you there. Hey, everyone, welcome back to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. Over the next 5 years, your ability as an entrepreneur to leverage AI tools is going to make or break your business. But I would say for the majority of us, we've barely scratched the surface on this. Today, I'm going to be joined by Greg Shove, founder of Section AI, who's going to teach us how to go from AI anxious to more AI fluent. In this episode, we're going to cover a roadmap to learning AI for beginners, which I guarantee you, most of us are. What it takes to actually build a shared company brain that knows your systems, your data, and your workflows, and specific ways to use AI for construction businesses, home service companies, and other trades. If you're ready to stop treating AI like a toy and start using it as your competitive edge, this conversation is for you. Now, let's get into it with Greg Shove. You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less. Mr. Greg Shove, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm stoked to have you. We are going to talk all things AI. You personally have made a shift from more traditional skills training organization to a much more AI-based training organization, which I think you are one of many that's over the next 5 years going to have to really start to think about this. How do we stay relevant in this new marketplace that we're in? So today, let's talk about it. Let's talk about how it's relevant to our audience, our contractors, and what you've learned so far and what we can glean from it. So I thought I would start just with you because you've made the pivot from being more traditional learning and development for, for companies to AI-based learning and integration and I guess change management for organizations. Is that right? Yep. Give me an explanation of this.
Yeah. Well, listen, first of all, I had no choice but to pivot because I'm 63. I'm old and I type with two fingers and I want to keep working. I love to work. And so my plan is to work for at least 5 or 10 more years. And in Silicon Valley, and I realized I needed a cognitive edge. And when I played with ChatGPT Plus, February the 1st, 2023, so 2.5 years ago almost.
I remember that.
I'm like, well, this is the moment, you know, that I realized this is my cognitive edge. And I had to get good at this personally. And then I realized and reflected on the only time I've made money in Silicon Valley in my career has been when my company has been able to catch a wave. And one of those waves was e-commerce and online shopping. I sold a business, made a bunch of money. Another was a enterprise mobile application company. And we sold that company a few years ago and did well. So I just realized this was the next wave. I had to get myself in it. I had to get my companies kind of on it or in it. And so, yeah, we decided to focus on AI just because that's going to be the new way we accelerate our own careers. We, you know, using in the early days, meaning the next few years, as you said, the next 5 years, being AI fluent is going to be the way you accelerate your own career and your company's success, I think. So that's what we're doing. We're helping other companies deploy AI and get their teams, their employees, AI enabled. We're not AI native. We're all, including you, we're too old to be AI natives. You know, the kids coming out of high school and college will be AI native. But we can at least be sort of AI enabled and competitive in an AI world.
And it's an interesting because this is not just, you know, info tech or this is another industrial revolution. Like this is and it's faster and quicker than any. So we had the farming revolution, we had the actual like industrial revolution, we created machines, and then we had the technology revolution and the internet revolution. This is like all of those combined times 10. Is that fair to say? Like this is
it feels like it. You know, I think we'll know a lot more in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Meaning, you know, it's been hyped up for sure. These technologies are sort of a genius and a clown. So there are moments where you know, if you play with ChatGPT or try to do, you know, kind of work alongside an AI, you're like, wow, this thing's amazing. You know, it can write, it can code, it can design, it can do a lot of things. So it's got these moments of genius. And then other times it's just stupid and makes mistakes and hallucinates and gets things wrong. It's kind of clownish, right? So I think there's a lot of hype. There's some sort of real goodness here, right? There's some real value here. I think we'll know more in a couple of 3 years how dramatic these technologies are really going to be in terms of how we live and work. My sense is they're going to be dramatic, but you know, we need to see some things get sort of smoothed out. You know, we can't work reliably with an AI that hallucinates, which by the way is Silicon Valley for just making it up every once in a while. And so, you know, that's not cool. We can't rely on it for work if it hallucinates. So I think we need to see these things get fixed. If they do, these technologies, I think, are the most transformational to knowledge work and people that work with language. And language includes numbers. Language includes software programming, you know, kind of any kind of language. So, yeah, I think they're pretty dramatic. They better be. These technologies, because the level of investment going in to build AI and power AI, the numbers are staggering. So big tech and Wall Street are making big bets right now on these technologies in terms of bringing them to consumers and to small business, and then, of course, to large enterprise. I would say also it's been a consumer and small business revolution. AI, it's been powered by individuals and small business.
Hey guys, quick question before we continue the episode. If you could get a custom roadmap for growing your business in 5 minutes, would it be worth your time? After tracking the growth of over 1,900 contracting businesses since 2015, we've put together a 5-minute quiz you can go take right now that draws on a massive pool of data. You'll get instant access to a personalized report that's going to tell you which one of the four phases of contractor growth you're actually in right now. How your company stacks up in the 6 core areas of business compared with industry benchmarks, and what to go do next, including customized resources, tools, and templates you'll have access to right away. No waiting around for an email or filling out a million separate forms. The link is in the description, so go check it out. Now, back to the episode. Do you ever follow the work of Raymond Kurzweil? Have you ever heard of that man? He's
Sure, yeah.
I've been following him for 15 years now, and it's freaky what he talks about, right? Because he's basically saying we as human beings, our brains don't understand what exponential growth is. We always think in the linear. So we try to measure growth by that. And I always have these long arguments with my friends about AI, which is I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, it's double folding. And it was double folding every 18 months. I feel like AI is moving even faster now. And it's not just double folding all the progress from last year. It's double folding all the progress of humanity every 18 months, and if not faster. So... Mm-hmm. That's one argument for it. The other side I see is I'm like, my one friend brings up a really good point. He's like, but Danny, you don't realize humanity also has to integrate that. Even if it's available, we have to take it and use it. And there's a slowdown effect that's going to cause. So this is the argument right now. And I don't want to answer it. I don't want to get into it.
Yeah, I think the slowdown effect is in a way maybe what saves us in terms of humans are in the way of AI's progress right now, which is why it's been a consumer and small business revolution, meaning small organizations or individuals can figure this stuff out and deploy it faster. You know, bigger teams, bigger companies take longer because they're slower and they're more risk averse and so on. That's why, you know, 1 billion ChatGPT users by the end of the year, that's in less than 3 years. An application that did not exist 3 years ago. We'll have 1 billion users. That's more than 10% of humanity will be using ChatGPT by the end of this year. These numbers are staggering in terms of the growth. And what I would describe this as we're entering the era of mass intelligence. So this notion that if you use GPT, you can borrow 30 points of IQ or any AI. I use GPT a lot. I use Claude. I use Perplexity. Gemini, of course, from Google is now great. But any one of these AIs, it's like using or borrowing 30 points of IQ when you wake up in the morning. So why wouldn't you? Whether that's for personal reasons, you know, parenting advice, medical advice, you know, travel advice, or obviously at work, you know, how to improve margins, you know, how to make more money, how to grow faster, whatever the kind of the work challenge is, why not borrow 30 points of IQ every morning when you need to answer those questions? That's what's going on right here.
And you said too, small business has the advantage. This was true for the internet revolution too. It kind of leveled the playing fields from large corporations. We ought to be able to play in the same ballpark for advertising, for reach. And it suddenly took a local business from the ability to kind of just expand to it's 500,000 people that live in the town to the entire planet with a few clicks of a button. And this is that on steroids, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think what it is When you think about AI, it does a couple things pretty quickly. It brings you skills that you don't have. So small businesses typically are lacking, you know, a skill set that they need. So they have to go to agencies or contractors or, you know, friends to help them out. It could be design help or marketing help. It could be, you know, someone to help with the, you know, with the books and make sure that the numbers add up at the end of the month, whatever it might be, or to software code something, you know, to create something in software. And basically AI brings those skills, can bring them in-house to a small business pretty much overnight. You know, not 100%, but can get you close in a lot of areas. So basically expands your skill set, likely lowers your, therefore your headcount or contractor cost, right? Improves margins. And I think it also allows us to think about growing our business faster. I think when I think about AI, I think about it as efficiency and growth. That's what McKinsey would call it. I also use the term cut and create. Most people think about AI today as an efficiency game. Use AI to be more efficient. I think that's right. Cut meaning cut tasks, you know, cut work, outsource it to AI, maybe even cut people if you're a larger organization, right? So that's kind of the initial phase of AI, which is use it to become more efficient. And that's what CFOs like, because, you know, they're focused on the bottom line. What's interesting to me is the next phase after that. Let's make ourselves more efficient with AI, and then let's grow, let's create with AI, create net new products and services, you know, create new lines of revenue, and kind of grow with it. We all need to get to that phase faster, meaning for society, for capitalism, right? For healthy democracies, we're going to want to get through the efficiency phase of AI as fast as possible and get to the phase where we create new stuff, right? Products, services, revenue, and net new jobs. If this is just about making us more efficient and removing jobs, that's not going to end well, you know, I don't think for most of us in terms of our economies. So we really want to move through that efficiency phase quickly and really use AI to extend ourselves and extend our businesses.
I just other words I would use for this as you're talking, it's like, it's almost like right now we need to focus on implementation of AI. So it's like use cases all in all areas of our organizations for the benefit of just being a little bit more efficient. But once we implement it and they'll probably take a couple of years to fully do that for all our small businesses out there. Once we do that, we now have kind of like a rocket ship we're behind. We can create at a much faster level. But right now it's all about implementation. It's just like, just get it in, use it for what it's worth. It's going to give you some gains. But in 2 or 3 years from now, as long as it's implemented, you can actually finally create and develop and go to the next stage. Is that
what
you're
saying? Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. And I think, small organizations, I think it can take a year or less even to implement. But it's, you know, get the tools, get your hands on them, as you said, get good at using them, find the use cases that work for you where AI is helpful. Yeah, and you'll find, and by the way, expect a 50% failure rate. I sort of caution everybody, and that's okay. Like that is success, meaning AI won't work half the time, meaning it won't make you that much more productive. It can do maybe what it is you want it to do, but you don't actually save much time. So just keep doing it the old way then, right? Don't force fit AI into use cases or work that you don't need to. And then the other half, it's going to work and you're going to buy yourself 10 minutes or half an hour or an hour or several hours. And if you do that, great. Now you're freeing up time. So you can decide how to use that time. You can, you know, take a yoga class, walk the dog, or take another client. And then to what you just said is going to happen, which is you're going to free up some time and some headspace to kind of think about, well, what else could I do with this AI, right? Could I create a new service? Could I enter a new market that I couldn't enter today because I've got AI sort of helping me? You know, maybe it's through the marketing, lead generation or whatever it is, right? So yeah, I think that's right. Think about this first is get good at it and then grow with it.
Is the contracting space anything special? Because I hear and I listen to podcasts on this. Everyone, have you heard this like term, the AI, the plumber? It's like the plumber is going to be the last job alive. And yeah, I was like, all right. And so I hear that from my industry and I'm like, all right, guys, we got a little bit longer than the rest of you. Is that true? Or is it just like, well, maybe for the work of the plumber, but the business of that plumbing company, we're still in the same race. What's your thoughts on our industry?
Yeah, I think first of all, the AIs aren't coming for our jobs anytime soon. So I think that's been a media narrative because it gets us, you know, alarmed and therefore we click, you know, we click on the story and read it, right? Which is that, you know, the robots are coming, AI is going to take all of our jobs. All the predictions that even these AI companies were making a year ago, they've been all wrong. I mean, these guys have been talking about software programmers, mass layoffs in software programming and engineering by now, but by 2025, 2026, it's not happening. And the jobs data, the recent jobs data is indicating that it's not happening. There looks like there might be some softness in entry level, you know, work in terms of, you know, kids out of college for certain professions like customer support, customer service, very language intensive job. Right. So maybe, but I'd say it's still pretty early to be blaming that on AI. Everybody wants to blame AI. What I would say, though, is that AI has exposed a little bit of the dirty little secret of knowledge work. People sit in front of desks, you know, at desks in front of computers for 8 hours a day and do a lot of busy work. Mm. You know, a lot of cutting and pasting of, you know, presentations and data from one, you know, document to another document or whatever, right? And the reality is AI is going to be pretty good at that. So I do think knowledge work is going to be at least changed, and certainly in some cases impacted, meaning those jobs will go away. It doesn't seem to be happening at the rate that we thought or at this scale, but it's going to happen to some degree, which is why everybody's been saying, yeah, be a plumber, be an electrician, you know, work with your hands. So yeah, it feels like to me the robots aren't even close to doing that kind of work. Not even close. Ignore what Elon Musk says. We're not going to get robots doing this kind of work. We're never going to get to Mars in our lifetimes. Those are just stories that these guys talk about and you know, and just go on and on about, just because it's a way to raise capital. So we're good. If you're running a contracting business right now, my guess is, you know, you've got a good business. I think the business of running a contracting business, you're right, this is where AI can really help and augment you. So, and in that case, you're like everybody else, which is, how do you employ these tools and technologies to make the running of your business more efficient?
So
then to grow it, you know,
if I'm running a contracting business, to our listeners who are, what mindset shift do we need to have so we don't just see this as another search engine? So we don't just type in some, you know, quick needs and get a quick response or get some ideas from ChatGPT. How do we start to really take this seriously and integrate this into the business? What fundamentally is the owner? What do I need to start changing the way I think? Sure.
Yeah, I would do this in two ways. The first thing I do is think about AI as my thought partner. Think about it as your business partner, your spouse, your mentor. Maybe you've got a real mentor, but who's not always available. You want to talk to them. But think about this as a mentor or coach or thought partner. Any AI, once it gets to know you, is an incredible thought partner. My point of view is that it's irresponsible if you're making a medium or high stakes decision, you know, not what to get for lunch, but anything that matters, a decision that matters at home or at work, you should talk to AI about it first. It's not going to make the decision for you, and it may not change your mind, but it might optimize just a little bit that decision. You have a thought partner, an AI that is so smart, to your point, trained on all of human knowledge, all of human capability, has gone into training these AIs. So they know a lot, and they don't have our blind spots. They don't have our decision biases. You know, they don't have our kind of our weaknesses in terms of, we all have certain ways we make decisions, right? We have sort of our go-to decision-making frameworks. AI doesn't have any bias, has no blind spots, and has access to all the decision-making frameworks that smart people use. So my point of view is, first of all, as a business owner, think about it as you now have a business coach. And that's ChatGPT or Anthropic Claude or, you know, Google Gemini. It doesn't matter which one. I think they're all pretty much similar these days. Use it that way. That's the first. Second thing is, sit down and create a list of the 10 annoying operational tasks or workflows that you have to do or your team has to do that you want to stop doing. It's really as simple as that, right? Just make the list. I call these workflow audits. Sit down, look at your calendar, look at your to-do list at the end of a week or the end of a month. Look at how you have to end every month. It might be close the books, or it might be, you know, whatever it is you do operationally, workflow, you know, knowledge task oriented. Make a list. Could be 10, could be 20, could be 30. Don't edit that list. Don't kind of think, you know, can AI do this or not? Just make the list. And then once you've got your hands on these tools, you'll know. You'll have a good intuitive feel right away, because if you're using AI every day, you'll know, oh yeah, maybe AI could help with that. And that's where you go next. You start to experiment with AI. Can it help you with whatever that task might be?
So sounding board, and workflows that I eventually will get it to use and take over, but I don't need to do it overnight. Just keep them on my board and see as opportunity arises how to slowly check these off.
Yeah, when you have a spare hour, you know, like play around with GPT and say, hey, could I use it to do this, right? Or if you, I don't know, maybe it's invoicing, or maybe it's building a little agent, which are called GPTs, if you use ChatGPT, to remind you to do something. You know, these AI reminders are pretty cool right now in terms of just, you know, little things that make you a little smarter or take a little weight off of a task that you do manually today.
I want to ask about this because I've, like most of us, I've been playing with this thing since February when it came out in, was it
2023.
Okay. I've been playing around with it. And what I've enjoyed about it is what you just mentioned, which is I have access to all the world's knowledge in an instant and can get some specifics to how it can help me in my business. The thing that I've noticed is that it doesn't intimately know my numbers. It doesn't intimately know my employees or their specific responsibilities. It doesn't intimately know the conversation I had last week with my marketing person. It doesn't intimately know all that. Now, it gets some of that from me, and it learns, and it has since 2023. It's learned lots. But to get to the point where I'm truly trusting it and being able to have it go deep, it's like merging what's out there in the world with my intimate specifics of my business.
Yep.
So this summer, I've started to play around with creating a mini AI brain. And I wanted to talk about that today, about how to do this properly, because right now I feel like I've just been playing around with it more than like really doing this well. And I think there's a massive opportunity for owners to create a shared company brain to reference their business while referencing the entire world's knowledge and then give you a very specific solution for you and your organization. How do we do this? What's involved in starting to do this?
Listen, it sounds like you did it. You don't need me. It sounds like you did it. I mean, Well, let's just do the basics first. The basics first are, and let's use ChatGPT as our reference AI. It's not, not the only one, but I'll refer to it. So make sure you set up your custom instructions. Every one of these AIs has something like custom instructions, and that's what ChatGPT calls them. In that, you can basically define who you are, the business that you run, the markets that you know your business operates in, how you like to work with AI. Like, you know, do you want your answers in short bullet form or longer conversation or whatever? So set up your custom instructions. I'm surprised how many even power users of AI don't set up their custom instructions.
I don't think I've done that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a huge fail. You need to fix that. Okay. So make sure you've got good custom instructions. And by the way, you can update them as well as things change, right? You know, your business grows or whatever. And you can put in family information, you know, personal information there as well. That's first thing. Second thing is make sure your settings are turned on for memory turned on. And they usually are, but just double check, because you want the AI using memory, because that's how it gets to know who you are. It's keeping track in your conversations and it's learning about you. And then that's held in memory. And that's a good thing, I think, for all of us. I think we want the AIs to be smarter. I know for some that sounds scary, but I like my AIs knowing me better. Because I think that means they'll just be smarter and when they work with us. And then the next step is what you're talking about, which I think is just every one of us should do it. Every GM or president or CEO should be doing this, of a team or of a business. And that's setting up sort of a second brain. The way to do it is think about it as a shared AI workspace. In if you use Claude, they call them Claude projects. And frankly, so does GPT. OpenAI GPT has a feature called GPT Projects. It's a shared AI workspace. Your chats are private. So when you're in there, if multiple team members are in this same workspace, your chats are private. What's not private, what's shared, are all the reference documents. So in that AI project, you can upload the company plan. You can upload the org chart. You can upload your marketing material, whatever it is, whatever documents or plans you have of record, you can share them with AI in this shared workspace. And then whenever you go to brainstorm or you ever go to kind of, you know, work with AI, do it from that shared workspace, because that is essentially the company's second brain or the team's second brain. So we do this at my company section. We have, we call it section expert. It's a shared AI workspace. And what I tell the company is when you're doing strategy work and brainstorming and, you know, all that kind of work about the business, go and do it there. Because in that shared workspace, all the company's plans are already there. So you don't have to share anything with AI. We've shared everything into the in this workspace. And I asked my chief of staff to keep that up to date. So then I know, okay, then I've got confidence as CEO. I've got one place where my chief of staff is loading up, you know, the business plan, the cash model, the forecast, the product roadmap, you know, the org chart, all that's in one place. And she keeps it up to date and accurate. And then everybody else using that AI is using this super smart second brain. And to your point, you're merging your data with the world's intelligence, which is the AI's intelligence. And that's when AI gets useful. That's why initially when companies rolled out AI, it was such a fail because they said, don't put company data in the AI because it's not secure. And, you know, this is like, and it's still, I still hear, you know, people say this to me, oh, it's not safe. Well, AI is kind of useless, I think, if you can't use your information, right? You want, to your point, to blend this really intelligent kind of machine with what matters to you. So for example, on the health side, I load up all my health data to OpenAI. So I had cancer 4 years ago. So I load up my scans. I load up my tumor reports. I load up everything to GPT. So, you know, Google thinks I have cancer because Google can infer I have cancer, you know, from a
Google thinks
from a
everybody has cancer.
Yeah. But, you know, they can know that from the search history, but GPT has it all.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. I think that the right balance here is check your settings because you can turn off, you know, you can make your settings private and all the AIs have a setting that say, don't share my data to train the model. Right. So make sure that setting is turned on where your data is not being shared with the AI for training purposes. And then at that point, I think, again, my opinion, you're safe, you're secure. And the more personalized you can make your AI experience, the better, the more useful AI is going to be.
Yeah, I find like for years I could search Google for solutions, but I could never ask it specific things about me. And finally I can. Finally, it's like, what should Danny do? What should Breakthrough Academy do? What should,
right.
And now you're suddenly yep. getting the intimate specific knowledge. There was something I was playing around with. I don't know if you played around with this yet, but in ChatGPT specifically, and I think Google has its own version of this, but we have a Google Drive folder for a lot of our SOPs and a lot of our metrics. And so I can turn on a toggle now. I think you have to have Plus or Pro to be able to do this, yep. but I can turn on a toggle yep. now and I can connect it to Dropbox. I can connect it to Microsoft Office Suite. I can connect it to Google Drive.
Yep.
And so it can go and spiderweb and find my files and use some of those files to bring, like you just said, that database type information back specific to my business. The thing I've kind of stopped at, and maybe it's just because I haven't had time yet, but it's like, how do I index all that information in a way where I'm not constantly trying to tell it, go to this Drive file and look at this specific folder? Is there a way for it to start to read it all for me and kind of know? So I don't have to, and as things are being updated as well, stay up to date without me constantly having to tell it where to go and what to do.
Not yet, not for small business. Yeah, okay. I mean, that is a challenge for sure. And there are products now, but I'd say they really focus more on the larger enterprise market that are trying to solve that problem. So sort of basically indexing the company's information in a way that the AIs can access it faster, more accurately, and not have that burden kind of fall on you. And nothing that I've seen yet for small business.
So stay patient. Wait for ChatGPT 6 coming out January.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, stay patient. This is why you got to pick your high-value use cases, right? Like AI can't do everything, notwithstanding what everybody says and what all the ads say and all the hype. AI can't do everything. So you do have to kind of pick your use cases. Where is it worth it to you to kind of keep uploading or keep pointing AI to that document or, you know, that kind of thing. So for example, for me, I use AI as a board. I've got a human board. I've got venture investors. I'm not as smart as your audience. Your audience owns their own business. You know, I always raise capital to start my companies, which means I work for someone else. And I've got a board, who want a 5x return on the capital. But I use AI as a board, and I take the same board deck that I send to the humans before the board meeting. You know, we have quarterly board meetings, right? I got 5 board members. I send them typically, you know, a big board deck to read. I give the same thing to AI before the board meeting. So I'm smarter and better prepared when I go to my human board meeting, because I've had AI basically play the role of a board member and I upload the same deck. I do that 4 times a year because I have, you know, quarterly board meetings. So it's not a big lift for me, right? I'll upload the deck every time, have AI play that role. By the way, AI scores 90% or higher when compared to the human board. And we know this because we record everything. We write down, we don't use AI note takers for board meetings, that's for legal reasons, but I have my chief of staff take faithful notes around everything the humans say in a 2-hour board meeting, and typically Claude or GPT scores 90% or higher when compared to the humans, meaning that means 90% of what the humans said, the AI has already told me before the meeting.
Wow. Yeah. So you're using it very much as a sounding board, as an information partner, as a little buddy on your shoulder that's there to help you think through all these high level decision making or decisions that you're making in your organization. Yeah. Where else are some practical use cases that maybe aren't as obvious? I mean, we've all talked about how you can use it for marketing and you can increase your, you know, your headlines and you know, adjust your funnels and all. What are some of the things that's like, hey, just so you know, especially for a contracting business, what are some of the most like powerful use cases that our listeners could utilize this for at this point?
Yeah, I think it's probably getting ready for client meetings, or like use it to role play. AI can be a coach. AI can also sort of role play who you're about to talk to. So if I was about to pitch a piece of business, a big piece of business where I really wanted to make sure I got it right, I might role play with AI before. I might load up my proposal. Mm-hmm. And ask AI to critique my proposal. Like if you were the buyer of this proposal, whatever it is, whatever this job is, you know, where does this sound off? Or, you know, what questions you might have? That takes just 5 or 10 minutes with AI. I mean, you can do it in the car or in the truck on the way over, or, you know, in the parking lot before you go see the client kind of thing to pitch that piece of business. That's one. I think you can also, I'd record everything you do in terms of projects as a contractor, either with photos or video. And I'd start to use AI just to catalog and kind of give you an archive of that work. AI is going to do a great job of that. If you, you know, just, it's kind of like, iPhotos, photos on the iPhone now, right? It's got AI search. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And so when you think about sort of building a body of work that you might want to learn from or show clients, whatever, I would basically use I would use AI to help that way. Listen, lots of other ways you could help. You could use AI to help you screen people that you're hiring.
Yeah, right. Basically going against an ideal profile of who you're looking for, what the role actually is. And then, especially if you were, I don't know if you'd be able to, you get permission, but you could record the actual interview itself.
You could just even getting you prepared for the interview. You know, most of us aren't very good at interviews. Most of us aren't very good at most of the things we're asked to do when you're on a business. You know, we're not, you know, we don't come, you know, yeah, we're not created to be business people, right? We got to learn it. And so I would ask AI almost anything to do it a little bit better, you know?
There's so many things. Another one was just thinking about just financials, which is like getting your actual financials in and benchmarking it against industry averages, which I know a lot of our members are always looking to do. And we can do that. But I think now you have the world's access to what's out there. Here's the thing about all this. How do you do this, work on this, encourage this with your team, and get adoption, but B, more importantly, not get it to the point where you've just like killed critical thinking on your team? How do you start to integrate this in a way where people are like, yeah, okay, let's use it, but then they don't turn their brains off? You know what I mean? Because
some will turn their brains off. Listen, I mean, we should worry about that. I mean, I worry about that a lot, especially with AI native kids, kids in high school and college, because that is what's happening already. I think that's almost a good problem to have, Danny. Meaning, let's get people using these tools a lot. You're right. There's a tipping point where you're using them too much, right? You're cutting and pasting. But I think most of us are away from that, meaning we're still not using these technologies enough. And by the way, we all have day jobs. We all got businesses to run and other stuff to do, right? This AI stuff kind of is now something new we got to figure out, you know, and find time for it. So what I would say first is find the hour a week whether it be, you know, during the workday or on the weekend, and, you know, start to develop kind of your kind of AI chops, find your personal use cases, find where it adds value, and run with that for, you know, 6 months, maybe a year even. Yeah, if you find yourself spending hours a day on AI, you're probably not if you're running a contracting business. I do think there are knowledge workers who sit in front of computers all day who are finding themselves spending hours now, you know, with AI, having these conversations. They are beginning to cognitively atrophy. Absolutely. And then they're beginning to outsource. I mean, I've been in meetings recently in my own company, and we talk about this publicly, obviously, in the company, like, don't do this, but people still do it. It drives me crazy. They'll say, well, I'm recommending this because AI says this. And I'm like, I mean, I just lose my when I hear that, you know, inside my own firm. It's like, guys, like, you know, if we're doing what AI is telling us to do, then we really don't need you, right? And that's just not first of all, it's not a good look. And second of all, it's probably not the best decision because the AI doesn't know everything about us. The AI is not real time. Like we're the ones, the humans, right, that have the judgment and the context and the, you know, kind of know what really matters in the moment, right? So, yeah, listen, I think we should worry about it. If I, as a parent of a kid in middle school or high school, absolutely, you should be having this conversation with your kids. Mm-hmm. The schools won't. They're freaked out about AI. You as a parent own this responsibility, I think, with your family, which is how to use AI the right way and how not just to cut and paste. Because if you do that, yeah, you probably won't know how to critically think in 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, how I can even describe like how I even prepared for this podcast was I reviewed you actually, and I sat down and wrote a whole page of notes on my own, just personal review of you. I then fed that into ChatGPT and had it start to summarize some key topics and questions that could be asked. I then cut that, pasted it into a Word file, and read through every single individual question and gave it thought and was like, is this relevant to our audience? Is this actually relevant to you? Does this make sense for me to ask this? Like, am I smart enough to ask this question? And it started deleting, adding, changing, and modifying. I then took that and I put it back into ChatGPT to get a final opinion. And then finally from there, I had a final version. And I feel like that's kind of like the process we need to do to encourage critical thinking while still gaining the knowledge that it brings and making sure that we're not just putting it out there. Because if you get it to go over your financial numbers and be like, you need to be 4% higher on this, and you're like, okay. Like, that could be wrong.
Yeah, it could be wrong, or it could be better to be 6% better totally. On a different number, right? Like, absolutely. And by the way, you know, you're closer to your business. GPT is looking for patterns, but, you know, every business is unique. We're all unique as individuals. Listen, the way you described how you're working with AI is how we want everybody working with AI. I describe it, Danny, as be an AI driver, not a passenger. AI passengers, they're the ones I think are just going to outsource to AI. Give me a good enough answer. I'll cut and paste it, send it on, and be done, frankly. And I do think a lot of knowledge workers are going to start doing that. It's not going to be good for their careers, you know, or their economic, you know, stability, but they're going to start doing it because it's easy. And by the way, you're going to buy yourself a couple hours of time every day. And you can, you know, like I said, you can go walk the dog or take a yoga class. I do think what's going on right now with AI is the employee is capturing the gain sometimes, not the employer, because they are making themselves more productive. They're not telling their boss, hey, boss, you know, give me more work. They're actually figuring out, hey, I can get this presentation done faster, you know, or this creative brief or this marketing plan, whatever it is, faster. So I'll use AI and kind of not tell anybody and, you know, and capture the gain. Eventually companies are going to figure this out and, you know, some teams will shrink, you know, after AI has been implemented. But again, for your audience, I think this is about finding some drudge work that you can outsource to AI, using AI as a thought partner, and then maybe using AI to grow the business once you begin to understand, you know, how you can leverage it.
Okay. For all those listening, like some people are doing what we're talking about, which is we're waiting for the next release to be able to get the next feature. Some people haven't even started an account yet and they just hear about this and they're like, I don't want to touch this thing. And everybody in between. What would you just say to everyone listening? Like, what is a good just like first, second, third step to start to make this a part of the company culture? I just think about change management. And you mentioned it earlier, small businesses have the upper hand on this. So we shouldn't sleep on this. But what are some simple things we can do weekly, monthly, quarterly with our teams, with ourselves to just stay on this train and not miss it?
Listen, I think the first thing is you got to use it yourself. Don't be the leader that runs around talking about AI and then basically, you know, can't find GPT on their phone. So get the AI yourself. GPT, Claude, again, Gemini, I don't think it really matters which one. Get it on your phone and start having these conversations with AI. And as you said, don't use it like Google. It's not a search engine. If you put in a generic question, you're going to get a generic answer and you're going to be underwhelmed by AI. The more you make the question a conversation and the more you personalize the conversation to, you know, your own situation, the more AI really kind of finds its superpowers and you're going to be impressed. And there'll be moments where you're going to be blown away. And then again, other moments you'll be like, well, you know, this thing's an idiot. And that's okay too, right? Yep. But use it yourself. That's the first thing. Second thing is normalize the behavior, and not just normalize it, but encourage it with the rest of the team. A lot of people are scared of AI. They, again, maybe not in your audience as much because, you know, not as many people sitting in front of a computer in terms of, you know, their day job. But when you think about knowledge work, you know, a lot of people, mostly because of the media narrative, have been told these AIs are coming for your job. And so people are anxious about it and people are, you know, and or have their head in the sand, hoping it's all going to go away. It's not. And I don't think they need to be anxious. In fact, the more you use AI, the more you realize it's pretty useful, but it's not taking my job anytime soon. Right. So normalize that. Like, you want everybody playing around with AI. And if you have to pay for it, if you're the boss, then pay for it. You don't need to. Free AI is pretty good. But if you, you know, you might want to upgrade, that's $20 a month. GPT Teams is $25 a month. That's got more security in place, which is kind of the default is kind of turned on. Like, it doesn't share your company data. So we use GPT Teams. It's $25 a month. Of course, we pay for it. That to me makes sense. Encourage its usage. Talk about it in a regular way, like a monthly meeting, a weekly meeting, whatever it is, just talk about it. Who's using AI? Personal use case, business use case, doesn't matter, to get started. You know, where was it helpful? Where was it not helpful? You know, those kinds of conversations are great. Just make it normal that we are going to be working in this team, in this firm with AI in some way. We're not trying to reinvent ourselves today. You're not going to get put out of business by AI. There are some companies who are going to get put out of business by AI, right? That's happening already. By the way, you know, translation, the whole translation business and everybody working as a translator, that business is gone. It disappeared overnight. That's not happening to your audience. That's the good news, right? For others in the media and advertising and, you know, other businesses, yeah, AI is a real threat to them. And their businesses, but not for your audience. That's great. Like, you know, get going, but don't freak out about it. You don't need to, you know, no panic.
I think about one thing, you know? I've noticed a bit of a trend in this, which is the industry of contracting is going nowhere. There's a lot of solidarity in that industry, but we also live in capitalism. And so the expectation of what is acceptable for marketing, what is acceptable for follow-up, what is acceptable for good proposals, what is acceptable for tight numbers, what is acceptable for professionalism. We've been here for 10 years. BTA has been busy doing this for 10 years, is going up. And AI seems to be increasing that level of expectation from a customer standpoint. And I would say the one thing is, like, it's not that our industry is going anywhere. It's not that, you know, these companies are going to become irrelevant for any time soon. But against your competitors, there will be people that will be using this and have the upper advantage. And I actually watched, even in our team, where the workload on marketing has almost gone up in a way because the expectation of content development and release has gone up, not down. And now we're using the tools to help with that. But if you don't use the tools to help with that and you want to try and keep up, now you're in a bit of a pickle.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think you nailed it, Danny. I think this idea of expectations going up on the buy side, right, on the client prospect side, is absolutely right. And both in the consumer and in the enterprise, or, you know, or B2C and B2B, I think everybody's expectations are going up because when you work with AI, you're like, okay, wow, this is fast. It gives me a great answer. You know, I don't have 17 browser tabs open when I'm, you know, think about travel. Like, travel planning is the best example, right? Travel planning in the Google browser world is TripAdvisor and Travelocity. And, you know, you're looking at websites, reading reviews. It's a real pain. You got 10, 15 tabs open to plan a vacation with your family. You do that with AI, It's one conversation, one window, one tab, and everything is summarized and presented as an answer, as a really intelligent answer. Travel planning with AI is amazing and getting better and better. I think what that means is we're going to expect all of our interactions with information, with content, with proposals, you know, with invoices. Like, I think you're right. All of our expectations are going to start to go up across the board because we've been given this new version of the internet, this new version of kind of how we interact with information and data. It is this new paradigm, right? And so I think that's right. In any business, I think our customers and our prospects are going to be like, you know, you should send me that proposal like in an hour.
Yeah.
You should be able to walk around and take photos and whatever it is.
The other guy did it. Why can't you do it?
Yeah. The estimates should be done by AI and you have to review the estimate as the human, but absolutely. Like, and why can't you be doing this on Sunday? Why can't you come on Sunday afternoon and send me proposals by Sunday night? Like, you don't need to get back in the office on Monday. Like, I think this idea of, you know, machines don't take breaks, you know, 24/7 for the machines, right? We like to take breaks and take weekends off and vacations. Machines don't. So I think as we merge this intelligence, the machines with us, you know, we're gonna have to figure this out because I think that's right. Expectations are going up across the board.
All right, man. Greg, this was great. Any final words, advice for everyone listening, especially our audience, all the plumbers out there, all the owners of the plumbing companies?
Don't panic. Figure it out. And if you figure it out, help someone else figure it out. Pay it forward.
Cool.
This is an anxious time, I think, for a lot of people for a lot of reasons.
Yep.
And I'm Canadian, and I'm not wearing my never 51 hat, but I probably should be. But you know, these are anxious, crazy times, and AI is, you know, contributing to some of that. So don't panic. Figure it out. Help someone else figure it out. Talk to your kids about it as well. And have a little bit of fun with this. Like it's not just work, right? AI can be fun. You know, make a song on Suno or build a website or, you know, make a children's book with GPT. There's a lot of fun ways to play with AI, to kind of get to know it. You know, it's not coming for our jobs.
Awesome. All right. And if people want to reach out to you, because you help with integration and change management for organizations.
They should just go to prof.ai and prof.ai is a coach, an AI coach for AI. And it's free for consumers. Go there and that'll spend an hour with Prof AI and your skills will be, be really sharp in terms of how to use an AI. So that's probably the best way, or just find me, just email me. Or put it in the show notes.
Okay. We'll put in some links for you. Awesome, Greg. Okay. I'll let you get back to your day. Thank you for your time on this. And to everyone else listening, let's go see what we can do with AI in the next couple months. As things change, as things move. Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Thanks, Danny.
Yep. See you. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it.